This is the Techno Buffet Podcast, episode number 624, recorded Thursday, March 30th, 2023. In 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1.
I could hear it.
Yes, last week you couldn't, which is a shame because it was a really inspired piece last week that you'll never hear.
I'll never hear it.
Yeah. You missed all the inspiration.
I was uninspired. Yeah.
So it is another week. It is the last week in March. So in 2 days is April. Where has the time gone, Jerry?
It just flies by. The year's almost half over already.
I don't think we're that far. I thought it was the year was almost a quarter over.
Oh, well, we're well past a quarter over. We're well into the second quarter.
Third?
No, actually, you're right. We're not in April yet. For some reason, I feel like we're already done with April.
Nope, we haven't got all the way to...
April. Maybe I'm just hoping.
Yeah, April's going to be a busy month, as I think I've mentioned. My time abroad has been approved.
Congratulations. I know you're excited.
To spend 2 weeks in an airport hotel? Not that excited. I'm excited because I might actually accomplish something. If I don't accomplish something, it's why am I stuck in a hotel for 2 weeks. Anyway, we'll work on that schedule, Wes. But that was one big thing. I also am in the process of continuing my tech upgrade, so I have put into place another OpenSense router. That's always exciting. Lost Jerry, though.
Really? And how's that going? Sorry, I had myself muted.
Well, I installed it, but it still needs to be configured. And also, I need to, because it's not yet connected to the my internal VPN that connects all of my offices, I have a travel router that I want to try to connect to the internal VPN. It's the perfect opportunity to configure the travel router so that whenever I go on the road, which maybe will happen more than once, but it will definitely happen for 14 days, I will be able to connect to the VPN and access my entertainments at home.
Good.
Assuming the hotel Wi-Fi is decent enough. Which is, of course, debatable. Well, hotel Wi-Fi being consistent is always debatable, isn't it? Anyway, that aside... that gives me a lot of projects to take care of over the next couple of days, rebuilding the reliability of the network here. Also, when I did the speed tests at the start of the season, I discovered that it is currently reporting in as 70 megabits down and 5.66 megabits up here. And have you ever noticed how most service providers say speeds up to?
Yes.
What I can't get a clear read on is what's the basement? Let's say that my number is 100, which it is not. It's actually higher than that. If my average speed is 20, is that up to 100? In the broadest sense, yes. But at what number do I have the right to say you're nowhere near what I feel like I'm paying for?
Yeah.
Especially when the provider in question does have a 100 level, so I could probably save money. So they're not providing... They've bumped me up to a higher tier, and they're charging me for a higher tier, but they're not giving me the average of the lower tier. Seems like it's worth a phone call. I think they count on the fact that that I, like many people, really hate talking to my internet service provider.
Could be.
But even in Queens, I just looked at the average speed loads for Queens. I'm supposed to have 1 gigabit symmetrical,
Yeah.
and I run a speed test about once an hour using a, and that isn't perfect because it's done under load. But it's estimating about 800 megabits down and 300 up, which is, again, I'm willing to live with that.
That's pretty good. Yep.
Yeah, but here again, 76. So we'll see. So those are my outstanding projects. I replaced the server here last week. So essentially, I have new home automation servers, the computers that run the Home Assistant and other related applications in all three locations, and the oldest computers are going to be retired. So things are running nice and smoothly. And now I get to work on the Techno Buffet server, because this has reminded me that the people at Linode are raising my prices. So in April. By the way, if I've never mentioned this before, Linode is the provider hosting the Techno Buffet website.
Nope, didn't know that.
Well, I'm not necessarily failing to be worried about their recent acquisition by Akamai. Not worried in the sense of anything other than the fact that whenever one company acquires another, they say things like, nothing is going to change, or it'll still be exactly the way it was before. And that sometimes is true, but not always. So I am. One, again, they're raising prices, and in this inflationary economy, I understand that, but I have some extra resources that I was using as part of a few projects, so I want to try to consolidate it so that I'm not paying money I don't need to pay.
I understand.
Also, I'm running an operating system that is technically no longer supported on those. When I say technically, it has a long release cycle, so it's still getting security updates. But I'm running CentOS, and I think recent decisions in that community have effectively killed it for me, because CentOS 8 has been discontinued before CentOS 7, and it's turned into a rolling release where they're constantly upgrading things to new versions, and the whole purpose of a stable release is that it does security fixes, not version changes, and I should essentially have to spend my time deciding that I want to do a major version change on a server that I want to be stable. So I guess I'm leaving for another distribution.
You know which one?
I could always go Ubuntu LTS. I could always, I looked at, what was it, Rocky. There's the other CentOS alternative. What was it called? It was going to bother me. So you have Alma is the one other one out. So there's Alma and Rocky if I want to go with a CentOS alternative and keep on that trail. But I could also, some of my servers run Ubuntu, so it's not like I couldn't do Ubuntu 20.22.04 LTS.
Oh.
We'll see. No, I'm very flexible in my distributioning, but I want an LTS, a long-term support version of Linux. That
I
doesn't mean that.
understand.
Yeah, and that doesn't mean I won't necessarily switch to another long-term support version in the future. It just means that I know that thing is going to be at a certain level and I don't have to rebuild it every year. My desktop is on a rolling release. I'm willing to deal with the fact that new versions of things come out for my desktop all the time. That's fine with me.
Well, that's nice of you.
What? No, I'm saying I like it that way. I like getting new things for my desktop, but I want my server to not be a pain. Have you ever heard the expression administration tax?
No.
The concept is that if you do all of this stuff yourself, it's a tax on your time,
Sure, I'll buy that.
as opposed to the alternative where you pay somebody else to host all your stuff and that's money. So the question is, what's more important to you, the time or the money? And I sort of mix the two. So that's all of the things that I'm up to that are of interest. What have you been up to, Jerry? What excitement has permeated your non-professional life?
Gee whiz. I don't know.
Well, sometimes professional life overwhelms personal life. I know you've had, in recent months, you've had some projects, I gathered, that have consumed you of a professional nature.
Yes. And they don't seem to have any indication of slowing down.
I sort of have that, but the difference being that nobody can quite figure out what project I'm doing. You know, it seems like every time there's a project, someone thinks of adding me to it. So a lot of my days seem to be taken up lately, as many people I've looked online have complained about, which is sometimes you feel like you're in meetings talking about the project more than you are actually working on the project.
Yep.
And I have a bunch of those. But this is life. So there are some interesting bits of news this week.
Really?
And opinion pieces.
And what?
Well, I just couldn't resist putting in this editorial from the people at Droid Life who are saying that it's time for a droid comeback.
Sure. And I don't disagree with them at all.
And if you remember, the Motorola Droid was actually my first phone when we started this podcast. Yep. Let's see, Jared. Do you remember what year that was?
20-something.
Yes, it was 20-something.
2014.
Try 2010.
Oh, wow.
We've been doing this a long time, haven't we?
We have. Goodness gracious.
Anyway, so I actually like that line. Now, the problem is, you know, Motorola in recent years has made some decisions that I wasn't happy about, but they still do make some decent mid-range phones. But I think they could do something if they wanted to. And I think the Droid brand, which they, you know, probably still have licensing for, could do very well if they brought it back and had it in the same sort of vein as, okay, this is a great... it wasn't luxury line. It's like one step above mid. Is that high mid or low high? I don't know what you call where Droid positioned itself.
I don't either. Yeah. But they're right. We do need more. I agree with them. We do need more valid competition.
Yeah, well, right now, outside of the Pixel line and let's just say the Galaxy lines, everything else is sort of not interesting.
Yeah. No, you're 100% right.
Mm-hmm. And again, I looked at when my father needed a new phone because his, and I told the story, his new hearing aids did not work with his Motorola because they didn't include the proper software support. I was looking at things like, you know, TCI phones and all these other things, and you know, some of them got decent reviews, but nothing has quite captured the imagination.
Yep.
Moving along to our friends at Amazon, apparently they're going to start flagging frequently returned products that maybe you shouldn't buy. Which makes absolutely no sense to me on one level. Which is, if people are frequently returning an item that you are selling as part of your third-party marketplace, why don't you decide not to sell it? Or tell the marketplace, we're just getting too many returns of this thing. You probably should reconsider.
And I think it's an excellent piece of information to share.
Yeah, I'm saying I agree with you. I think it is useful to me as a consumer. I'm just asking, as a company, why do you keep selling items that people don't like, even if you're doing it as a marketplace?
Because they don't know that they're doing it?
Yes, they do. They are able to put up an alert. I'm saying once
they... Maybe the alert is there instead of saying, you can't sell this anymore. It gets returned too often. Or maybe this is the interim step.
Well, I'm curious about that. What point do they decide to remove people from their platform who are selling garbage? And you know my continual issues with mail order purchasing. obviously more stuff arrives that is in good condition than not. But it's always an interesting conversation when something shows up wrong. Like, I ordered a water filter, you know, one of the, like a pitcher, not a one that hooks in, because the water filter that was installed here, connected up to the sink, is not working. So I figured I should have a backup. So it showed up. It's one of these like big ones with a spigot on the front that allow you pull the spigot and that allows you to fill the bottle.
Okay.
It showed up and I started putting it together and I noticed something was missing.
A spigot?
Yes.
Oh, that's cool.
Not really.
It's easier to use, right?
Well, it means that you could pour water, filter it, and then it would come out a hole in the front.
What more do you want?
It not to come out a hole in the front, except when I want it to come out of the hole.
Oh, so now you got to be all picky.
With all the water in a water filter not ending up on the floor, yes, that's usually a good idea. But it looked like they had given me an item that might have been previously opened. And, you know, that's occasionally fine in a piece of electronics, but anything that handles food, I don't think I want previously loved. Although this was water, but still. Anyway, it worked out. I told them they were welcome to come and pick up the faulty item anytime they wanted, and they declined.
Makes sense to me.
I was happy to, you know, to leave it by the door. They can come and get it. Anyway, let's move on to a different part of Amazon. Their sidewalk network.
This is interesting.
So we've sort of talked about sidewalk before, which is they started installing this in devices, essentially radios that can transmit these signals and then would retransmit them over the internet using the home Wi-Fi network of the devices that acted as gateways. So they started putting this into Echo and Ring products. The idea being that these products could either use these networks for areas where there was low connectivity, or they could create these networks. And you'd have a cheap network where you wouldn't have to pay for cellular because everybody would be offering a little reasonably sized piece of their bandwidth.
Reasonably sized, you say?
Well, that was sort of the argument where people were upset that Amazon might turn off something that's using their bandwidth without their permission.
Yep.
And as again, it is that using your bandwidth is a concern. Privacy isn't because this is a separate network. But they have promised that this is not somebody streaming video. It is for certain very specific low bandwidth activities. Things like sensors and other things that don't use that much bandwidth. But they open that up to developers and they'll provide free test kits so you can figure out how coverage is working for you.
Well, that's cool.
Well, again, who wants to pay for an expensive cellular radio for, let's say, a sensor that you might have?
Yep.
Anyway, it's interesting.
I mean, it's nice that we're starting to mesh these things and that we're trying to get, you know, interconnectivity a lot more ubiquitous. I don't know.
I agree
know how
with you.
I feel about it. Do you know how I feel about it?
No, I don't know how I feel about it. I feel it would be interesting to play with, but it's sort of the, I'm still a little worried about problems.
Yeah.
So let's talk about my phone for a moment.
Your phone.
So the Pixel line got a change to the adaptive charging feature. So it no longer relies on alarms. So the idea is that Pixel devices required users to set an alarm in order for adaptive charging to work. And now it will instead learn your habits. So adaptive charging is sort of where it limits the charging capacity of a battery, holds it at a lower rate, and when it gets close to your wake-up time, it will charge it up so that by the time you're awake, it will be 100%.
Interesting. That's cool.
I thought it was a nice feature.
Yep.
In a sad note, Gordon Moore has died.
Who's Gordon Moore?
Have you ever heard of
Moore's Law?
That guy, yeah. The co-founder of Intel.
Well, so Moore's Law lasted longer than Moore did.
Yeah, and even he said on the subject that once he made a successful prediction, he avoided making another. So essentially, he said this thing in 1965 that about processors doubling in transistor count every year. And then he changed it later to be one doubling every 2 years. So he's saying, well, I came up with this idea. It pretty much held true for a while, and he didn't change it because it seemed to work. Either way, he was definitely a pioneer in the industry.
Yep, he was.
And we have a lot of Amazon news today. Amazon is shutting down DP Review. Have you used DP Review?
I have. The very first digital camera that I bought because of DP's review of it. Because, oh my, DP Review did incredibly.
Yeah, and what surprises me is that they didn't try to find somebody to buy it if it's a property they aren't interested in anymore.
I guess, I mean, as, here's my theory.
Yeah.
One, nobody cares about these high profile phones anymore, or cameras anymore, because everybody uses their cell phone. Two, doing these in-depth reviews, because they do amazingly in-depth reviews, are getting more expensive and less valuable.
Yeah.
Now, at some point, you just got to, you know, cut your losses.
I know. That's why I said I'm surprised that they didn't just try to say, fine, we understand this isn't our thing anymore. Does anybody want it? And even if they just said, we're just going, you know, if anybody wants to continue it, we'll sell it for a nominal rate because otherwise we're shutting it down. There might be companies that would consider sponsoring it, or maybe it could make a go at it, you know, with an advertising-based model. Either way, again, it's, what, like 25 years of camera journalism?
Yep.
Anyway, sad victim of the recent round of job cuts everywhere. So moving back to Android and some simple features. Apparently, in Android 13's source code, there has been a reveal of Google working on using the brightness sensor to determine the screen's initial brightness. So it's trying to improve the auto brightness behavior so it doesn't blind you after moving from a brightly lit to a dark environment.
I, for some reason, thought it already did that.
It does to some degree, but clearly not necessarily as well as it should. So the recalibration happens after the display is turned on, which means it goes completely bright and then dims. It would essentially dim before the screen turns on, if that makes any sense. So what happens now, you turn it on and suddenly the phone is bright and it realizes it's in a dark room and it changes.
Nice.
Now it would be the other way around. It would realize it's in a dark room before it turns itself on and adjust it proactively.
Ah, okay, cool.
The FCC is back. So new FCC rules apparently are making it difficult for scammers to text you automatically. So they've proposed some regulations, essentially. Telecom providers will need to take necessary measures to block texts that are highly likely to be illegal. Ones that can originate from invalid, unallocated, or unused phone numbers. And they want to prohibit messages identified from phone numbers identified by government agencies as unsuitable for SMS transmission.
Interesting.
By the way, unsuitable would be their numbers that aren't actually mobile numbers or equivalent.
Didn't the whole shaken and stirred thing try and fix that?
Yeah, and there's that was working on phone calls to some degree. This is working on texts. So they're looking for ways to make sure that there is not fake information going around. So what happens when you cut down on the amount of fake phone calls people can do? They start sending fake texts.
Yes.
The problem with, you know, with any criminal, with getting rid of any criminal behavior is that the criminals find a different behavior. And I know this because somebody called me, what was it, yesterday? They said, who are you? You've been calling my phone all day. I said, no, I have no idea who you are. I haven't called anybody all day. I have a job. I work. I don't use my cell phone while I'm working. They said, sorry. I said, okay. And the only reason I answered is that I got like 15 calls from this number. Clearly, they were very motivated to find out who I was and why I was annoying them. But anyway, maybe I shouldn't have answered. They would have just kept calling me. Anyway, if you are a user of YouTube Music, their offline mode got a new upgrade where you can auto-download recently played songs.
That's super cool.
Why not? I actually do use YouTube Music for some things that I haven't bothered to purchase since I am mostly a music purchaser. So that brings us to the end of what I gathered for this week. I read exhaustively through article after article.
You did. And you are you exhausted?
You don't know how many articles I read just to find the, just to extract the pearls of conversation that we have every week.
I think you do an amazing job and I'm proud of you and appreciate you.
I appreciate being appreciated. So we once again
appreciate it.
Yeah, so we once again, as we wrap up, do have to conclude some business. I will be occupied next week recounting the Exodus from Egypt.
Okay.
That takes until about 2 a.m, so I think I will not be available that night.
Well, is that Egypt time?
No.
Oh, okay.
Well, you know, there is the long-standing story of how that's recounted every year of how some very wise individuals spent the entire night recounting the Exodus from Egypt until they were interrupted to say that it was morning. 2 a.m. is late enough for me. Sometimes we go till 2:30. The challenge is finding new things to talk about.
All right.
Yeah, that's why I buy a new book that has new and interesting insights every year for us to discuss.
Ooh, that's nice of you to try and keep it interesting.
I'm not the only one. My brother has like a gigantic stack of books he's collected over the years that he rotates through with different insights. You know, like Pharaoh's Insane Fear of Mice. That's another story. Anyway, so that makes me unavailable to record a show on the 6th. I think I can record a show on the 13th because the holiday ends that night, but I might have to do it late. So, okay. Do we want to skip next week or try to find a window?
Let's skip it.
Okay, so we will be back on the 13th at, let me get a calculator here, 1 second. And notice I do this live so everybody can enjoy the what time are we going to record live conversation. I consider that probably we should do that off recording, but I just think it's more dramatic. Okay, 10 o'clock.
Okie dokie.
Okay, so we will be back 10 o'clock on the 13th and then a normal time on the 20th, if that's fine with you. And then I will be out of town on the 27th and the 4th, so we will have to find an alternate time, but I will be available to record just at a very different time of day. So I think that covers everything through the first week in May, schedule-wise. but we'll review the whatever time once I'm in a position to tell you what time that is.
All right.
Okay, so until next time, everybody, just remember, keep on kazooing. Because why not?
Goodbye, folks.
Goodbye.